Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, December 4th, the first Monday of the month, and it is the start of a very busy month for all of us. And I wanted to start the month with talking about our past, because for some reason when the holidays hit and Thanksgiving, everyone kind of has the same people come. I know a lot of people travel, but Christmas is huge. And Christmas goes on for the whole month. It's not just one day. It's like a Christmas party here, a family gathering there, friends getting together. There's so many different ways that Christmas is celebrated throughout the month. And already this weekend, I was hearing, oh, now we got to do this again, and now we got to do that again. And they're taking everything that happened before and dumping it on this year, which stops this year from being a new year, from being a fun year, from being something we can enjoy. And then I even got deeper into it to where we do this every day. And I said, God, what is behind the fact it's not letting go of the past? Because we already know, okay, we can't live in the past, and we can't live entirely in the future. We cannot do that. However, the moment that we're in gets hijacked by our past and by what we want in the future. And it can be really, really scary. I'm right now where the rubber meets the road with the foundation. I'm like right at that last leg of it, and I'm working all weekend, and I'm typing up, you know, we have our bylaws and we have everything that we need, and where I'm getting all this stuff ready. I have a meeting on Monday. I've gotten all these people involved, and it has been crazy. And I thought to myself, you know, it took me, I knew I was going to do this since I saw Christ 15 years ago, more now. And then when I did the summit, and at that time I realized I was in over my head, and I went to Eric, and Eric Hillis is like an angel, and he helped me, but he also didn't just help me in one way. He also gave me suggestions like, you know what, why don't you start and call this a nonprofit, and why don't you? And I thought, God, I was supposed to do that a long time ago. Why didn't I? And he just, you know, rang that bell. But I knew when he rang that bell that I needed to run with it. And I got busy as a bee. We were registered since the end of October. I was waiting for other papers for some reason, but those don't come until next year. And we're already ready to go. So now we're setting up a foundation dinner, and we're setting this up and that up and all these things now. It's like the door was always there. The handle was always there. But why didn't I turn it? Why don't we talk to someone we haven't talked to for a long time because we think whatever happened? And we sometimes have that feeling that we want to go back and just say, hey, that really wasn't that big of a deal. I hope we're okay. Or something like that. Why? And I seen in the comments on the page where Paul Clark writes, you know what? I'm watching situations from new angles now to see if people are forecasting the future from the past results, or just like you outlined, taking today's show's info into account to construct new bridges. And then someone else says, wow, that's actually a good question. And then someone else, Christopher Cedre, says, there's no need to escape the present moment by building new bridges, for the bridges is us. And it is, but we don't know that that bridge at times is something we're not even in the middle of or near to the other side. So again and again and again, I keep going back to Christ. Why didn't I turn the door handle sooner? And a lot of times we have these little stories that live in our heads that repeat themselves quite frequently. And they're like, not now, you know, you can't do that, that's too big, or you don't have enough money to do that, or you don't have enough time to do that, or you know what, you're all alone and no one can help you, and you don't even know what to ask for yet. And it's because there's those stories, and we get ourselves busy with other things. I realized the week that I didn't do the show that I did not see how much the show took out of me. It didn't take out all my energy. No. It's just that I wake up, I get to work, I do the show, I post, I answer, I do all this stuff. And by the time I'm done, I feel like I've already worked for a few hours, which I did. Then I get up and I go for a walk, I come back. And then I get to my desk, and I've isolated myself somehow, because in my brain, I was already doing a lot of things. So that week, just waking up and starting other things, it jump-started me into getting out of that thinking. And now that I'm out of that thinking, my time is utilized differently, because the story in my head that I didn't even know I was saying, but I knew that something was in stopping me, but I didn't know what it was. It was the way I was thinking. It was a very subtle move, but it changed the trajectory of how I think about my day. It's just little things like that, the stories we have in our heads, because it's easy to say, don't stay in the past. But you think the past is present if the story is still alive and well in your head. And don't get me wrong, nobody's perfect. We all are human beings, and we have a memory, and we have something that can look at the future. So we can't block those out. But how do we balance the three, the past, the present, and the future? And the answer, believe it or not, was just, it all goes back to self-love. And you would think to yourself, what does self-love have to do with it? Well, after I wrote up the show yesterday, which I thought was absolutely fascinating, I met a woman who is, she does matchmaking, like a matchmaking service. Like, you know, and I don't know, in the old days, I think in movies, I don't even know how it worked before, but they actually have an old-fashioned matchmaking service in the LA area, in like different cities even. That's how big they are. Who would have ever known? Well, the reason nobody knows about them is that they are not online. They advertise online, but they are not an online dating service. And she told me that they have a lot of clients. And I'm like, really? She said, yes, you would be surprised. We deal with 40 and older, because the 40 and olders don't like to be online for something like that. They're in a different mindset. And I thought, well, that's true. They, you know, don't come from generations of online dating and all the stuff that go around it. And I said, well, what do people pay for such a service? She said, well, they have to pay up front. We don't like send them out. They pay up front, and then we send them out. And I said, well, how do you do it? And she said, well, we get, I guess there's like an online filter that takes them to their website. They fill something out, and then they get a physical phone call, like they have to call you. And then you go in and they interview you and they go through who you are, what you are, why you want, what you want, what you're doing, what you've done so far. You know, who have you been till today? But it's human to human. So when I asked, what do you charge? She didn't want to tell me. And I said, why would you want to hold that back? And she said, well, it scares people. But if you really want love, and then I thought, oh, that's where they hook you, but she couldn't and wouldn't tell me how much that they charge, at least not initially. So I said to her, but what if I refer people to you? Because I have clients and I work with people and I could refer people to you. She said, oh, well, in that case, and now her business light turned on. So whatever was in her past, instead of me just extracting information, now she looked at it as a business thing. And I said, you know, if I refer someone to you, you can, you know, we can help each other out. She was like, ding, 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 the light's turning on. She's getting excited. And she said, it's all human to human. And I said, what is the advantage to somebody coming to see you as opposed to meeting someone through friends or at work or at the coffee shop or wherever? She said, we background check everybody. I said, oh, that's a good feature. I guess, you know, you don't really know, I guess, online. I don't know. I don't have the online dating services, but I do know the people who started eHarmony because they were parents of one of the kids my son played baseball with, and they filter through. They ask a ton of questions, and the father of the mother in the group, he's a psychologist, and he works with like marriage and family counseling, and he came up with the best ways to find a fit for your personality. And I guess you fill out all this information. So they're like, you know, trying to do what these people do offline, online. But these people are just a human service. So it was interesting. She said, well, the first thing we ask when we meet somebody is if they're going to come in for an appointment and they get as far as making an appointment and they've made a solid decision that they are going to come in, we ask them for 3 forms of an ID. And I said, wow, 3 forms. How many forms can you get? You have a passport, maybe. You have a driver's license. She said, no, we want a checkbook, a credit card, and a, what was the third thing? A checkbook, a credit card. Oh, and a driver's license. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, why do you need those? She goes, we don't need to take a picture of them. We just need to see them. And I said, now, why would you need to see that with a client? Because now we're talking business. I may be referring people to her. She was the most fascinating person to run into, I have to say. It all started with vegetarian and food, and we got onto this. But it's so funny that she said to me, we have to make sure the person's actually single. She said, one of the biggest issues that the older people run into online is that the people they're meeting, they don't know, are married. So if we look at all of your, like, financial stuff and it's all in one name, I thought, holy cow, I would have never thought of that. But their past has taught them, that's a very obvious one, but their past has taught them that if they're, anyone's going to have a solid future, we have to put our past in check. We have to say, well, this could have happened, that could happen. And we need, as I was done with her, it was interesting. She had all these views about animals and about, and then somehow we got onto what she does because I thought she was in the food business. And it turned out she was in the matchmaking business. And it started out with food. And she's like, you know, do you eat meat? And I was like, yeah, I like meat. I do eat it once in a while. She goes, you're not vegetarian? No, I'm not vegetarian. But you know what? You eat the fear of the animal in their meat. And she went into this whole thing. And I was like, wow, this woman's intense. And then we got onto that topic. And I thought, yeah, now I know why. But one thing they do in that business, and the coolest thing was I met her after I wrote up the show, was that they go through your past. And they go through it objectively. They don't care what you've done. They just want to know what it is because they believe in full disclosure. And the reason they believe in full disclosure is because if you can say who you are, they know that you know who you are. The reason they check out what you say, the reason they check it out is because they understand that to start something new, you have to have reconciled with your past. Doesn't matter what your past is, because everyone's past is only their perception of their past. Nobody else remembers your past the way you do. And you have your feelings attached to it. You have whether you got hurt or happy over it. But to be objective about it, because you need to tell somebody who you are so they know who to pair you up with. And that expertise that they have, putting your past into perspective, is why they have a business. Forget the matchmaking part because that's the afterthought. What they do to get you prepared and ready to meet somebody, it's something that we can do personally with ourselves. Maybe the matchmaking part, I don't know how else somebody would go about meeting people. I know there's a billion ways to do that. But getting yourself to that point was really what riveted me about this conversation. They want to know, what's your emotional inventory? So when she started telling me that, I didn't tell her what I write books on. I didn't tell her that much about me. I was too way fascinated with her story. But I knew, and I was asking, and I said, it all goes back to self-love. She said, oh, we see that all the time. We see when it's not there, and we see when it is there. And the difference is staggering. She said, there's people who come in every relationship. She said failed relationship. I didn't want to say that word. But every failed relationship they have had was the other person's fault. And I said, well, what do you do with those people? She said, well, initially we will try to work with them to see if they can take any sense of accountability. And I said, well, what if they can't? She said, we can't work with them because if we send them out, we are hurting our own clientele because we are now sending them someone who has not reconciled with their past. She said, we will interview the person for an hour and a half to 2 hours of time. We make sure stories are consistent. We make sure conversation flows. And so then I was getting really curious, and I said, what do you charge people? I was thinking, you know, my little brain, like, you know, a few hundred dollars. You're looking at like $8,000 to $10,000 that they will charge a person to meet other people because of the time that they put in. And the matchmaking, I guess, the magic part. And they want to make sure that the person is serious. The first thing I thought of is what I could do with $8,000 or $10,000. Everyone has their priorities. And she said, they have a lot of people. Because it's hard. And this was a very good observation, and I didn't even think of it ever. But she said, the bigger the areas are, populated, heavily populated, the less people meet each other. You would think it's the opposite, that you would meet. You will meet a lot of people, but you won't stay with a lot of them. You may have this in common and not that in common, but they do this thing. I took her phone number because I wanted to ask her more questions, and I will send her people if I get people who are looking. But they do a thing. It was called like 72 points that they make sure match between two people before they'll set them up. That is very interesting. I am fascinated that this even exists. And it exists and it's completely offline. So their business, how does it grow? That was my other question. They said it is purely by referral. One person who comes who's happy, who tells another person, who tells another person. It was such an amazing conversation to go from food and being vegetarian and not eating meat or eating meat to that was a surprise. But it was a very cool surprise because everybody who believes in something, who doesn't have a past voice that's stopping them, is free to proceed. So how do you stay in the present moment? It's not that we're not going to have a past. Feel free. But if you find yourself repeating your past over and over and over again in your mind, know that, is that the reason why? Question yourself. Am I not doing this? Me. Am I not doing this because I always have this feeling like I'm alone? I think Frances said, I wonder what her marriage rate is. She did answer that to me, and it is between 70 to 85%, which is really, really high. And it's usually within three different dates, usually by the time the person, you know, has gone through three different dates. Because the one thing that she was saying was when they do that 72-point check, you meet somebody you already have a lot in common with. I wish I could have picked her brain a little more, but I do have her information. So it's fascinating to me that this one exists, but the way that it exists, how even in an emotional thing, an emotional part of us that's so hard to quantify, that these people made a business of quantifying that and helping people meet people. Because I can tell you now, if you're a person who works in LA and you drive to a job every day, that's your whole day. Driving to the job, doing the job, and driving home will get you home by 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening. And you will have to leave at that time in the morning. So by the time you get home, you're getting ready for the next day. It's that, I mean, my daughter goes into work. She calls me after the radio show. And sometimes she'll come home at 9 o'clock at night. She has a boyfriend and, you know, they have two residences between them. And they basically will see each other and have a quick bite or do whatever it is they need to do, and then they can see each other on weekends. But during the week, Monday through Friday, and they met at work. So if they weren't even at work, they would not have met each other. It's crazy. So what she said had a lot of validity to it because in smaller towns, the paces are smaller, are shorter, are different. Drives aren't as crazy. Things aren't as packed. But the humanness, and I thought, one other thing I thought leaving her was I was so happy to know that that existed because the humanness is what helps pull us out of our past. One of the reasons we stay in the past is that we do not talk to too many people, so we are left in our own heads for a very long time. We are left in our heads, and then we let ourselves repeat and repeat and repeat, and there's nobody to question us, there's nobody to ask us. It's a very interesting world that we live in now. But if you find yourself going through repetition and then repetition and then finding yourself not doing what you want to do and getting that restless feeling like, why haven't I progressed? Why haven't I enjoyed the fruits of my labor? Why is my labor stagnant towards myself? Start listening to what you're saying, because there is technically, and I know in the spiritual world, there is no time. I am the universe and all that talk. I get it. But it doesn't tell me anything. What tells you who you are is what you're willing to do every single day. Tomorrow, today will be part of your past. So tomorrow you wake up and you say, well, I didn't do it yesterday, so I could put it off again another day. It's okay. I'll do it tomorrow. That has taken people lifetimes throughout their whole lifetime easily. Not learning new things because you think you already know what you need to know, that's living in the past. But if you just do one new thing, it puts your past to a test, to a question. Whatever new you do, you look back and go, oh, I used to do it this way. You've already put your past in the past. Do you see how that works? Why we need to keep learning? Why we get restless when we don't learn? The minute you try and you have a new template for something that you didn't try before, whatever you did before automatically in that moment becomes your past. Reconciling with your past, which I know I met that woman for a reason. And by the way, she was an older lady and she had a very heavy accent, like she's from Hungary or somewhere in that part of the world. I could almost identify the accent, but I didn't even get to asking her because I wasn't there long enough. But I was so fascinated by her youth. By her youth, because mentally she was a little firecracker. She had so much to offer, so much to say, so opinionated about food. She just blew me away. And for someone her age to have gone back and changed the way we ate was big enough. But yet to take what we called, and she called it, which I didn't call it that initially, but now I get what she said, is that this is an old-fashioned way for people to meet each other. It's through the eyes of another person. Because for me, I always thought you meet somebody and you know if you love them or not. Like, that to me was how people meet. I know matchmaking services, you know, remember Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Make Me a Match, that song and all these funny things. But I always thought of that as just something on the outskirts that they do in film or whatever. But it's alive and well. People are realizing we need people to help us reconcile our pasts so that we can be in this moment and we can have a balance between the past and the future. Because if you live only in the future, you'll have anxiety. If you live only in the past, you'll just be too slow. You won't grow. So you have to have a balance between the two and use it to your advantage. And it all goes back to self-love and reconciling how you feel about yourself. Accepting yourself is the beginning and end of everything. I have 10 seconds, you guys. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.